Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience.
Hello, welcome back to Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience. I'm your host, Big Les. Let's go through your rugby league on your Friday. We have the Dolphins taking on the Eels in the second game, but first we'll talk about the Dragons and the Warriors. What an upset this was. Obviously, the Warriors, the heavy favourites going into this one. The Dragons, we couldn't really get a read on the Dragons at the moment in certain games. Obviously, they've been very on and off. They've been very hot and cold. We just didn't know how they were going to come into this game. Obviously, a huge performance last week from them against the Tigers. We sort of started to see them get a little bit better. We sort of started to see them play a little bit like a Shane Flanagan side. But usually the following week, we get a poor performance from the Shane Flanagan side. I think all of us at BTFU had tipped the Warriors to get a big win in a big way. And the Warriors, they looked like they were going to do that in that first 20 minutes. The 20 minutes to start the game, the Warriors were very good through the middle. AFB having a blinder in this whole game, even though he was in a losing side. But, you know, at the start of the game, him, Mitch Barnett, they were setting the platform well. They were getting good field position. Charles Nickel-Klockstad there at the back doing great things. Sean Johnson looked really silky too to start the game. They just looked like they were playing some good footy. Even Tamate Martin was creating a few opportunities on that left-hand side. Wade Egan as well. You know, they were really humming, and we really thought the Warriors were going to get on a bit of a roll as the game progressed. They were sort of just warming into it. But, you know, one thing led to another. The Dragons had a poor start, but after 20 minutes, they had one of the better 60-minute performances you'll see. They were outstanding. Lomax, Sloan, you know, a few of their key guys. Ben Hunt as well there at 7. It's the best game I've seen from him all year. You know, a few of their key guys having some pretty insane performances. We'll talk about the Warriors first. Obviously, as we said before, just starting the game extremely well, looking very good with the ball in hand. For the first 20 minutes, they were dominating. Even in saying that, though, obviously, you know, Sean Johnson scored in the first little section there in the first 10 minutes of the game, or should I say the 11th minute. But for the most part, having 20 minutes of ball, having a lot of possession in that 20 minutes, they still weren't able to put on too many points in that 20-minute period that they had the ball in. It was just a little bit confusing, you know, how they weren't laying on so many points, especially because of the performances that we've seen from the Warriors this season, especially with some of the games that we've seen from the Warriors this year. Usually they are getting on a stack of points and looking a lot more dangerous with the footy. Obviously, they were looking dangerous. They were in the Dragons' own end pretty much every single set they had the ball. And even when they didn't have all the momentum and the Dragons looked better, the Warriors, they still managed to find their way into the Dragons' end. It was just that they were unable to score points, and that's what let them down. A few errors, a few handling errors and penalties let them down in this one as well. But it was mainly just not executing when they had the ball in hand. And obviously, you know, in that 60-minute period, the Dragons ended up having a lot more of the ball. And Ben Hunt being a little general there, having one of the better games, as we said, that he's had this season. But you've got to give credit where credit's due here for the Warriors. Some of the guys that really stuck in for the full 80 minutes. You guys like Adam Fanua Blake, 26 runs. He played 70 minutes, 255 meters, 108 post contact meters, 22 hit ups with 6 tackle busts, had 23 tackles, did not miss one tackle. He was great throughout the entire game, and you could see after the end of that first half, he was very frustrated with how the game had gone, but he was terrific, and especially in that second half, you know, when they were on the back foot, he was doing everything he could to get his side back into the game. Same for a guy like Tohu Harris, who played, I'm pretty sure, close to the full 80. He played 80 minutes, had 22 runs, 168 meters, 56 post contact meters. He had 12 hit ups with a tackle bust in there as well. 48 tackles. I mean, having a really strong performance, trying to get his side back into this game. I thought that they were very good down that left down their left hand side. Sorry, they loved going down their right. And yes, they had a few moments, especially at the start of the game, where they were having success down that right hand side of the park with Rocco Berry and obviously Dallin Watene-Zelezniak. They love going down that right, but the left is so dangerous. And even though they didn't go down their left too many times, you've got Roger, who had still had 16 runs for 142 metres. You still had Marcelo Montoya, who had 15 runs for 121 metres. You know, guys getting heavily involved. They probably should have gone down their left a little bit more. And Tamate Martin, he sort of looked like he was going to have a game, and especially in that first 20 minutes. Some of his footwork late at the line too when they were going down that left-hand side. They should have gone down there a lot more in attack. They were fixated on going down that right, and they had a few errors there as well, especially when the left defense of the Dragons improved. Christian Tuipulotu having a lot of saves there. They obviously targeted him with their kicking. The Warriors, he handled it very, very well, Christian Tuipulotu, in his Dragons debut. But yeah, look, the Warriors just unable to score points. It is the story of this one. We talked about Adam Fanua-Blake. He had a blinder. Tuhu Harris had a blinder. Chance Nickel Klokstad out there at fullback. I thought that he was unbelievable. Even in a game when they were losing, he seems to be getting some pretty insane stats every single week. He's probably one of the better informed fullbacks that no one's really taking account of at the moment. Obviously, with guys like Sean Johnson and Adam Fanua-Blake standing out in this side, you don't really take notice of Chance Nickel Klokstad too much. He had 27 runs, 258 meters, 94 post contact meters, 6 tackle busts, made 5 tackles too out there at fullback. He was great, really, really solid attacking, getting heavily involved for his side as well. 94 post contact meters as well. Every time he returned the ball, he returned it with a bit of fight in him. I thought that the Dragons did very well in limiting Dalamontani Zalesniak's involvement. Yes, he still had 12 runs. He had 103 meters, but only 38 post contact. You know, DWZ is a guy that generally returns the ball with a lot of might, running at 100 miles an hour. I thought they defended him very, very well, and it sort of limited, you know, the Warriors go forward a little bit in that second half, particularly when the Dragons got a lot more of the go forward. They were in their end a lot more. They were limiting how well Dalamontani Zalesniak could return the ball when they did kick to him as well, which I thought was very impressive. Now, a guy we didn't touch on for the Warriors is Mitch Barnett. 14 runs, 118 meters, 54 post contact, 13 hit ups, 2 tackle busts, 30 tackles. I mean, obviously you have Adam Fanua-Blake having a massive performance. You have Tohu Harris having a massive performance, and they do this every single week, these two, but Mitch Barnett has sort of been the underlier that people aren't really looking at. A lot of people are talking about him as a smoky for Origin. I wouldn't push past it at all, really. He's been great to start the year for the Warriors. A guy that a lot of people forget because he's in that Warriors jersey that he is a New South Welshman. I think he could be a real smoky for Madge's selection, obviously in a losing side. With the way that the game went, particularly for that 60-minute period, you sort of don't think of it that way, and I probably get a little bit of pushback from saying that as well. But yeah, Mitch Barnett, I thought, was great. I thought that the forwards for the Warriors were great throughout this one. And it was just really the fact that they couldn't execute. Obviously, some issues with the halves. I thought Sean Johnson probably wasn't the best game from him this season. Tamale Martin had a great first 20 minutes, but sort of went a little bit quiet too as the game went on and as they got less and less ball. We've said it a number of times already. The story of this one for the Warriors was the fact that they got a bit of ball, but when they did have the ball in their hands, they just couldn't execute. They were still getting some good field position, but unable to put the icing on the cake in terms of scoring tries. As for the Dragons, the 60-minute period that they had after the first 20 minutes of that game was unbelievable. Yes, they had a very slow start. It was all Warriors for the first 20 minutes of this game. You know, Hunt's kicking game. Hunt kicked it out on the full, or nearly close to out on the full, kicked it very, very short, and it rolled out. I think he only kicked it about 10 metres, and he was very unhappy with that. Obviously, Eisenhuth gave away a key penalty, which gave the Warriors some key field position as well. A few plays after, Sean Johnson scores that try. You know, the Dragons looked like they were in all sorts. We thought it was going to be the game for the Dragons where they fall out a little bit and they don't have a big one. But yeah, they turned it around. They really did turn it around. Wade Egan, for the most part of this game, had a little bit of concern around his knee as well, which is a little bit concerning. We talked about Origin Smokies before. I think he's definitely up there with the way that he started the year. I thought that there was a period there, 22 minutes in, when the Dragons were just starting to get into their groove. The Warriors were pounding their defensive line, and I thought that Jacob Little and Tyrell Sloan, 22 minutes from halftime, I thought that they had a really, really big moment, Jacob Little and Tyrell Sloan defending on their line. But not just defense. I thought Tyrell Sloan was unreal in attack. It's probably the best game that he's had this season as well. 10 runs, 165 meters, 18 post-contact meters, 1 line break assist, a try assist, 6 tackle busts. He made 8 tackles too out the back there at fullback. If there's one criticism here for Tyrell Sloan, maybe a few more runs. Obviously, he doesn't have to have the 27 runs that Chance Nickel-Klokstad had, but just a few more runs, you know, poking his nose in a few more times, getting involved in support play a few more times. I think that would really up Tyrell Sloan's game and make him look even better. But I thought it was probably one of his better games this season. He looked really dangerous every time he got the ball in his hands. And that try that he scored was phenomenal as well. Such a dangerous footballer and so good, as we've said, with the ball in hand. We just want to see him get more runs of the footy. But 10 runs, 165 metres. It's a pretty decent strike rate. And as I said, one of his better games of the year. We talked about Christian Tuipulotu. There were some key moments in this game. The Warriors kept pounding him with kicks, especially high kicks, and really testing him out there on that wing. I thought for his debut, he did very well. He absorbed the pressure. He did very well under the high ball, and I thought that it was a key part as to why the Dragons kept their ball in their hands for the most part in that second half was because, you know, he wasn't making it silly errors. He wasn't knocking the ball on, especially when they were pressuring him with a lot of kicks in his way on that left-hand side for the Dragons. I thought Lomax was unreal as well. Obviously, there was a lot of conjecture with how he was going to go moving back into the centres. Was it going to change much? It didn't really change anything, to be honest. 21 runs, 184 metres, 60 post-contact metres, a line break assist, 3 tackle busts. He was great. Right there, Zach Lomax. Really, really solid in the centres and defensively really strong as well. We've talked about, obviously, as well, that right-hand side being a little bit of a defensive concern. It was probably the only thing I was sort of waiting on to watch with him for Origin as well. Obviously, his defence has to be immaculate too for the Blues if he is going to be in the centres or on the wing there for that side. 3 tackles. He didn't miss a tackle out there. So he looked quite good. I thought that his defense was strong, and especially in attack, especially, you know, just before halftime with that 2-point field goal and then the try just after halftime going into the second half. I thought that he had some really big moments in this game, and the way that he carried the football as well, 21 runs. He was great. Zach Lomax. And Michele Revalauer as well, getting some quality service. He had 16 runs, 159 metres, 47 post-contact metres, 6 tackle busts there on the wing. Michele Revalauer, really solid as well there. Now, we've talked about a few Origin Smokies already. I'm going to give you another one, Jaden Sua. I think he's been unreal to start the season. A lot of pushback on him. Rando obviously had him as one of the statistically best second rowers for the Queensland Maroons. I wouldn't push past it. I wouldn't have pushed past it then. I'm not going to push past it now. Obviously, in this game, 16 runs, 125 metres, 47 post-contact metres, said 16 hit-ups, 2 tackle busts, 18 tackles. I thought he wasn't too bad. The only thing that sort of pushes me away from him in Origin is his defence, 5 missed tackles, and he has missed a few tackles over the past few weeks. Once he gets his defence 100%, I think he can definitely make his way back into that side. I think he'll definitely be considered for the squad. His form, especially in attack, the way he's ran the ball, he's looked very, very dangerous, Jaden Sua. I think he'd definitely be one to be considered for a spot, at least in the squad. He was great in this game, though. Looked great every time he ran the footy. Hame Sele, I thought, was great as well. I thought that he, obviously, his first game, I believe, starting, or maybe second game starting. I don't know if he started in that Tigers game, but he was great as well. And obviously, Shane Flanagan made it quite clear, before kickoff, that he was going to be one of the starting front rowers for the rest of the year. It looks like Jack DeBellin and Blake Laurie will be spending most of their time this season coming off the bench as impact. But Hame Sele, 11 runs, 105 metres, 53 post-contact, had a tackle bust in there as well, 36 tackles, sorry. I thought that he was great. Obviously, had a 56-minute stint there, so a big stint there for Hame Sele. Obviously, more used to being that bench guy, obviously, at South Sydney. That was his role, coming off the bench and providing the impact. But interestingly enough, Shane Flanagan sees him as that starting front rower, and I don't push past it at all. Now, Francis Molo, 33-minute stint for him. He had 6 runs for 64 metres. I thought that he was quite good. I just feel like they should have probably kept him on for a little bit longer, but in the same token, I think he should have had a few more runs. Every time he ran the football, he ran at 100 miles an hour. He just looked like he was unstoppable there. Just looked like he had no fear too in the middle. I wish you had a few more runs because it probably would have given the Dragons a little bit more momentum there through the middle if they didn't have enough already. I thought that he was great when he ran the footy. I just wanted to see him run for a little bit more. Now, again, we talk about Smokies for the Blues. Jack DeBellin, 19 runs, 147 metres, 56 post-contact, 15 hit-ups, a tackle bust, 21 tackles, only 2 missed. I thought that he was great. And again, every time he ran the ball, it was just at 100 miles an hour, but defensively really solid as well, really locking down that middle. And then Blake Laurie as well, 11 runs, 93 metres, 33 post-contact, a tackle bust in there, 15 tackles. He only had a 34-minute stint, whereas Jack DeBellin played 59 minutes. I thought both of them coming off the bench, it suits them. I thought they both provided a lot of impact as well. Ben Murdoch-Masilla, he only got a 13-minute stint, but I feel like he suits that role really well as well. Obviously, one of the older forwards in this pack. 6 runs, 68 metres, and again, every time he ran the ball, a lot of intensity there. The forwards for the Dragons were very, very good and provided a lot of go forward for the Dragons, and they played a very fast game of football too, which was very interesting. Now, one of the key guys in this team was Ben Hunt. He had 61 run metres, had 1 line break, 2 line break assists, 3 try assists, 3 tackle busts in this one. And then he kicked the ball for 624 metres. He was great, Ben Hunt. Really, really solid. His kicking game later in the game, obviously when they had a lot of the ball in hand, it went from obviously kicking at 10 metres and then rolling out and costing the Dragons some key field position in that first 20 minutes to having some really pinpoint accurate kicks. 5 bombs as well in this game that really put the pressure on the Warriors. I thought that Ben Hunt was unreal, and Kyle Flanagan, his running game, he only ran for 35 metres off 7 runs. But I think he's slowly starting to really gel with Ben Hunt, and he's looking great there at 6. He looks a lot more comfortable there as well. I thought he played quite well in this one, as I said, particularly with his running game. Just want to see him run the ball a little bit more and take on that role, because I think he can do it really well. A lot of people consider him the organiser in this side. I think Ben Hunt is pretty much still the organiser. I think Kyle Flanagan needs to probably take on a bit more of a running role. I think he could suit Ben Hunt's game as well, and it could allow them to gel a little bit more, because Kyle Flanagan, when he did run the ball at some points in this game, he looked quite good and he looked quite dangerous as well. So maybe that's something to consider there for Kyle Flanagan. But all in all, the Dragons, they looked very good in this game, particularly in that 60-minute period. It's just going to be about for them now turning those 60-minute performances into 80-minute performances. And that's what's going to be the difference from them being in that bottom 8 and the top 8. It's just going to be 80-minute performances, being consistent for the full game. That's what's going to be the difference here. But they did a very good job in this one, the Dragons. The next game was the Dolphins and the Parramatta Eels. What a clash this was. For the most part, rather than the last 20 minutes, it was a really even contest. It was really solid through the middle. There was a huge battle going on. Obviously, the Eels looking a lot better with the football in hand. It looked like the Dolphins were going to fall victim to the conditions. There were a lot of tired forwards there in the middle for the Dolphins. The Eels, obviously, with their offloading game, it fatigued the Dolphins through the middle quite a bit as well. I thought that Bryce Cartwright, his offloads were really dangerous, but they also cost them a few opportunities as well. He gave away 1 or 2 penalties there that really cost the Eels. Other than that, I thought these offloads, it looked quite dangerous when he ran the ball as well. But yeah, just really, really solid for the most part, the Eels. It was just that last 20 minutes where they really gave out, and the Dolphins just went on an absolute tear. You look at the scoreline and you think that the Dolphins dominated for the whole thing if you didn't watch the game. But if you watched the game, it was a really even contest. And the Eels even led 10-4 at halftime. 8-4 at halftime, I should say. I mean, it was a really, really close contest. And we thought that, you know, at the start of the second half, the Eels might come back here and might turn things around. Dylan Brown, he ran for 80 metres off 10 runs. His running game was really solid and his ball playing was really crisp. Junior Paulo had a really solid first half and was quite solid for most of the game too, to be honest. Sean Lane was great there on an edge, I thought. Jermaine Hopgood too at 13. I thought he had a really solid stint out there. But yeah, look, I mean, that last 20 minutes really let this Eels side down. We'll talk about them first because there was a few standouts here for Parramatta for the most part. Gutho, 11 runs, 88 metres. I thought that that was a little bit short for him. He's battling a knee injury, so he can sort of understand it, but You know, it is early in the competition still. There is still time that if these guys are injured, to probably leave them out, to probably rest them for a few weeks. Yes, Mitch Moses is out. It seems like do or die for the Parramatta Reels, but it's round 8. We're going into round 8, not round 27. You can sort of have a bit of leniency. Let him rest for a few weeks. Blaise Talangi can play fullback. He's played fullback in New South Wales Cup for a while. He is a fullback. Just have him there in the number one jersey for at least 1 to 2 weeks. Let Gutho fully come back, red hot, firing, ready to go. And let this Eels side get back to its best. Obviously, Gutho looks like he's been injured for the past few weeks. It doesn't look like it's only come around this week. He looks like he's been injured for a while. Just let him rest. I think that he needs it. He works so hard for this side as well. You know, I just don't want to see Gutho in round 8, you know, have one run that ultimately puts him on the sideline for a while. Now, the NRL physio's diagnosis was, I think, fluid in a knee. This is the same knee that he did back-to-back ACLs, I believe, earlier on in his career. So that is a little bit concerning. Over fluid in the knee. He's had to have fluid drained from his knee, from what I've heard. I don't know if he is being rested next week, but as I said before, I'd heavily consider it. Other than that, I thought some of his effort areas, again, saved the Parramatta Reels for most of this game. Will Panasini, I thought that he was outstanding. 15 runs, 160 metres, 58 post-contact, a line break assist, 5 tackle busts. Again, we've thrown a lot of Origin Smokies the way of Michael Maguire, particularly for the Blues. Will Panasini is one of them. He's had a really solid past few weeks, and if he continues this form, especially with some of his key guys out, and especially if Gutho misses next week, along with Mitch Moses, who's going to be out for at least another 5 weeks, you know, I think that he could, in a side where you've got a few guys out, if he really steps up, he might earn himself a jersey. I think there is a spot up for grabs. I think that it's going to be a battle between Tungo, Panasini, Bradman Best for that spot. Obviously, Latrell Mitchell reportedly set to say no to the New South Wales Blues spot if he does get offered it. So there is a spot up for grabs. I think that it is going to be a three-way battle here between Panasini, Isaac Tungo, and Bradman Best for that jersey. Maybe Stephen Crichton you throw into the mix there as well. But there will be that battle, that is for sure. He has been unreal, though, to start the year. And in this game, just looks so dangerous. And for most of the game as well, this isn't just, you know, for the first 60 minutes or so. This is for the full 80. I thought that every time he got the ball in his hands, when they were in an attacking set, the Eels, every time he got the ball, he was outstanding. So Will Panasini, a heavy standout. Him and Sean Russell on that right-hand side. Sean Russell finishing the game with 14 runs, 109 metres, 38 post-contact, a line break, 4 tackle busts. I thought that he was great as well, Shawnee Russell. Just a little bit poor on the kicking game. Maybe the goal-kicking duties might need to go to someone else next week. We spoke about it before, but Junior Paulo, 107 metres off 10 runs, 39 post-contact metres, had 6 hit-ups, 2 tackle busts, 26 tackles. I thought that he was quite good through the middle, and he was probably one of their standouts. I mean, you look at Regan Campbell-Gillard here, only 8 runs for 69 metres. You know, he only played 47 minutes. He played 47 minutes. That's actually a pretty decent stint. I thought that we would see a lot more out of Regan Campbell-Gillard, but I guess you can leave him not getting over 100 metres like he usually does to the conditions. It was 32 degrees, high humidity rate. You know, and obviously I think it was the conditions that ended up getting the Eels in the end. They just got super fatigued. Joey Lussick in a dummy half looked really scrappy too. You know, after maybe 40 minutes going into that second half, he just looked absolutely buggered. And it did really hurt the Eels in some key stages too. He put in 100%, 10% effort. I think he'd be losing a few kilos after this one, played the full 80 minutes. You might, though, need a Brendan Hands or someone that can come off the bench and play a bit of nine, because in that sort of situation, they needed to bring someone else on and play hooker because he was just absolutely buggered. I'm surprised that he didn't pass out there. He just looked absolutely so fatigued. 5 missed tackles there as well. Again, you've got to leave it to the conditions for obviously ineffective tackles too. So, it did cost the Eels a little bit through the middle, especially towards the back end of that game. But, you know, credit to him for staying out there because, in that situation, they probably did need another hooker on the bench. We spoke about it. Bryce Cartwright, his offloading game. I thought that he was quite good in that department, and it was very dangerous. Obviously, for the most part of this game, it was a very big part as to why the Eels looked so dangerous and looked like they had the run over the Dolphins. Two offloads in this game. Junior Paulo had one. Jermaine Hopgood had one. Ryan Madison had one. Will Pennacini had three. Again, just another reason why Will Pennacini was such an attacking threat in this one. Yeah, look, they were really good for the most part of this game. Jermaine Hopgood was outstanding as well. 10 runs, 86 metres, 30 post-contact metres, 10 hit-ups, a tackle bust in there, and then 37 tackles. Although Jermaine Hopgood was a standout too for the Eels in terms of the middles. But again, we spoke about it. Conditions in that last 20 minutes, it really, really hurt the Eels, and the Dolphins took full advantage of that. A guy that I thought was absolutely insane, and particularly when you've got such an attacking weapon in Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa out, you think that, you know, they are going to struggle with a fullback that has been in Q Cup for the past few weeks. But this guy has been knocking on the door to first grade since round one. Trey Fuller was outstanding. 15 runs, 191 metres, 34 post-contact metres. He had one line break assist, a try assist, seven tackle busts. He was outstanding, Trey Fuller, absolutely outstanding. Every time he ran the ball, there was so much intent. The 34 post-contact meters that he did have, it was taking hit-ups like a front rower. He was unbelievable, Trey Fuller. So much aggression. We talked about it in the preview. Such an aggressive player when he runs the football, and we saw it in this game. He has the speed. He has the X factor, and what he lacks in size, he brings you in aggression. He was solid, Trey Fuller. Really, really solid, and showing why he should probably be a first grader, and they were sort of saying it during the game. If they bring in an 18th team, they are going to have to be knocking on his door. And one thing that I didn't realize going into this game too is that Trey Fuller is 27 years old. He's getting into the peak twilight of his career. Like, yeah, as we've said, if there's an 18th team coming into the competition, or if there's a team in need of a fullback, they definitely need to be knocking on his door in terms of offering him a contract, because he's an absolute weapon, an absolute weapon. He was a big factor for the Dolphins in keeping this game tight. He was outstanding there at fullback, particularly in the back end of this game. But for the most part, just with some of his carries and his toughness and his aggression, I thought that he was unbelievable. Tessie New, 179 metres off 17 runs, 59 post-contact. He had a line break, two tackle busts. And then in defense as well in the centers, I thought he was really, really solid. Seven tackles there, but more so in attack, just his running game and his aggression. 59 post-contact meters again. He was busting tackles left, right, and center. Just looked like an absolute threat to the defense of the Parramatta Reels, and really troubled them towards the back end of that game on that right-hand side. He was lethal, absolutely lethal. And a guy that we've been speaking and really hyping up coming into the year as well, Jack Bostock, had a big performance. 17 runs, 165 metres, 33 post-contact, four line breaks, a tackle bust in there as well, and a try assist there for the winger. He was really, really solid, Jack Bostock, and a big performance from him, one of the bigger ones we've seen. Obviously had a hat-trick in there as well, but you know, just his running game, and so good in the air, Jack Bostock. Really, really impressed with how he started the season. Obviously played, I think, last year for the New South Wales under-19 side. He'll definitely be in that sort of discussion in a few years' time. He is so impressive and has really started the year strong, Jack Bostock. I don't think he's eligible for Rookie of the Year, because I think he played three or four games last year, so I think that makes him ineligible, but we'll have to wait and see. He's definitely been one of the younger guys that has come into the year very, very strong. And with Lockie Galvin now ineligible, the conversation is pretty much open to all of the other rookies in the competition to really stand up and make something. Speaking of rookies, absolutely starting the year strong, Isaiah Katoa. What a game from him. And in that last 20 minutes, he was so dangerous. But for most of that game too, the first Bostock try that he set up to, that cutout pass that he threw, was so deceptive. The way he runs the footy, his recognition, the way he reads the game as well, he plays it like it's in slow motion. There's a few players that can do that. He's one of them. 17 runs, 114 metres, 16 post-contact. He had four line break assists, three try assists, two tackle busts in this game, 11 tackles as well there in defense. He was so solid, and particularly last year, where he was even coming off the bench at 14 at number 9 towards the back end of last year. For him to go from that to the starting 7 in this team and push Sean O'Sullivan to the bench hooking role, super impressive start to the year from Isaiah Katoa. And, you know, he's going to be the difference from them, with a few guys out of this team, a few key guys out of this side. Your Herbie Farnworth, your Felice Kafusis, now your Hamiso Tabuai-Fadosi is going to be out for the next 4 weeks as well. He's really stood up, and he's going to stand up over the next few weeks and be a key difference for this Dolphins side. And if they beat some of these top sides like what they've just done here to the Parramatta Reels. Jeremy Marshall-King at 9, I thought was really dangerous, particularly in the last 20 minutes of the game. He's ball playing in a dummy half, and again, just deception as well. He had 7 runs for 76 metres. He had a line break assist, a try assist as well. Jeremy Marshall-King, 33 tackles, 0 missed. Really solid performance from JMK in this one. Thought he was great. The forwards for the Dolphins as well, really leading the way for most of this game. Key difference here, especially with the conditions. You know, a lot of these Eels forwards not getting over the 100-metre mark. You know, Jesse Bromwich, 10 runs, 107 metres. Mark Nichols was outstanding starting in this game. I think he played a very big minutes too. He played 45 minutes or thereabouts. 12 runs, 139 metres. Max Plath was unbelievable. Yes, he had 2 tries. But even if you take both of those tries out, I thought that his ball playing, the link man in the middle there, and for someone who is probably one of the smaller guys on the field playing in that 13 jersey, he is so tough in defense as well. But he finished the game with 13 runs, 116 meters, 32 post contact. He had 4 tackle busts as well. Looked really solid in attack, and 33 tackles, only 1 miss there in defense. Again, one of the smaller guys on the field and making a real statement out there on the park as well. He's been great to start the year. And Ray Stone too, coming off the bench, playing in the middle. 13 runs, 126 metres in 50 minutes that he was out there on the field. 10 runs, 10 hit-ups, sorry, I should say. 1 tackle bust, 26 tackles out there too. 5 missed, but yeah, you can. I guess you can blame it on the conditions. That's probably the only criticism I have here of Ray Stone. In attack, he was definitely leading the way off the bench himself, and Josh Kerr. 10 runs, 92 metres there for Josh Kerr as well. 18 tackles, 0 missed for him too. Him and Josh Kerr, Ray Stone, Josh Kerr, really solid off the bench. Very interesting, obviously, Jared Wallace dropped pre-game for Oren Keeley, who made his Dolphins debut. Was unaware that he had made his debut, NRL debut for the Newcastle Knights earlier. I sort of remember it, but I sort of don't as well. Forgot that he even debuted in the NRL, but I thought he was great as well. He had 9 runs for 85 metres. Looked quite solid while he was on the field. Came off for a HIA, which sort of shortened his stint, but still got a 39-minute stint out there, which was pretty good for a club debutant. And he looked quite good when he ran the ball as well. There, Oren Keeley. The Dolphins looking really solid, and particularly for that last few minutes, they really had the front foot and put the pedal on. Again, you know, same sort of thing here as the Dragons. It's just about making these performances 80-minute performances. That's going to be the key difference for the Dolphins. That run that they went on, though, they had a try on the 55th. The 51st, the 55th, the 57th, the 63rd, the 69th, the 71st, and the 74th minute. That whole 20-minute run, the last 20 minutes of that game, is just unheard of, unbelievable. So, credit to the Dolphins. They had a cracking game. It was a great game to watch. And yeah, very keen to see how they go next week. I'm just going to double check who they have. But it will be an interesting game, particularly from what we've seen from them in this one. They go up against the Knights side, realistically, without Callum Ponga, who has a injury to his foot, which is going to be really interesting to see how that one goes. But yeah, look, I'd totally back the Dolphins in that one to get another win on the board. It's going to be scary to see how many wins the Dolphins can rack up over the next few weeks, but definitely a massive performance from them in this one. That's full time. See you in the next one.